Lectionary Lab Live is recorded in the studios of the 405 Oxford Group, Gainesville, Florida, and Brasstown, North Carolina, a Two Bubbas and a Bible production. Welcome, everybody, to the Lectionary Lab Live. I'm John Fairless. I'm here with my Bubba, Delmer Chilton. Say hey, Bubba.
Hey, Bubba.
Man, good to hear from you today. We're going to do a little text work today for the fourth Sunday in Lent. These are the texts for March the 15th, 2015. Bubba, you and me been talking. We're actually going to try something a little different today. I don't want to go into a whole lot of stuff, but I've had a very strange week around here, and I've just been completely out of my routine. Haven't had much time to look at our scripture passages for today, and somebody told us not too long ago, you know, every once in a while, we'd like to just hear one of y'all do a sermon. I think that's what we're going to do today. Instead of discussing point by point through these texts for today, I think we're going to rear back and let you give us your thoughts for today in the form of your upcoming sermon for the week. That work for you?
All righty then. It does for me. Let's do it.
All right. Well, for the first time ever in Lectionary Lab history, folks, this is going to be the Reverend Dr. Delmer L. Chilton. We know him here as Bubba Number One, preaching for the fourth Sunday in Lent. I'm looking forward to it, Bubba. The pulpit is yours.
Thank you, Brother John. Pray with me a minute, please. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O my rock and my redeemer. Amen. I like the word oxymoron. Of course, you know it means expressing two contradictory things at the same time in one word or two, a phrase. The word itself, oxymoron, is an oxymoron. It's made up of two Greek words meaning sharp and dull. Oxymoron equals sharp dull. Some of my favorite examples are bittersweet, original copy, jumbo shrimp, and a real southernism, pretty ugly. I've often thought that having a firm handle on the concept of oxymoron is vital to understanding the Christian faith. Is God oxymoronic? Does God express truths that are mutually contradictory? As we read the Bible, we can find evidence of two quite different pictures of God. In the first picture, God is harsh, judgmental, strict, a God of law and punishment, of revenge and retribution, a God who keeps a careful tally of our sins and metes out appropriate penalties. In the second picture, God is gentle, loving, forgiving, and indulgent. God is a God who loves us with a prodigal, spendthrift love. We all have a mental picture of God, a picture that was shaped in part by the biblical stories we heard as a child. As we grow older, we begin to realize the contradictory, the oxymoronic nature of many of these stories and pictures. Noah's Ark is a good example. We read about it a few weeks ago. Lovely scenes of a ship and cute animals saved from a flood. But as we get older, we start thinking, wait a minute, God sent the flood to kill everybody and everything not on the boat. What? And so we begin to wonder, which is it? What is God really like? The God who kills or the God who saves? Is God like the straight-laced, self-righteous commandant of a military academy, all rules and regulations and carefully calculated systems of demerits? Or is God like your favorite grandmother, all warm hugs and twinkly eyes, fresh-baked sugar cookies, and a sympathetic ear? Our lesson from Ephesians says in verse 3 that we were, quote, by nature children of wrath, end quote, calling up the image of the judgmental God who condemns us all to hell. But immediately in verse 4 we read, but God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us. Now here is the sweet, loving God. Our gospel lesson contains everybody's favorite memory verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only beloved son. Why, even Lutherans and Episcopalians can say that bit of scripture by heart. It's a message of love and forgiveness. But it also implies judgment and wrath. Those who do not believe will perish. A few verses on in John, it talks about condemnation and people loving darkness and being evil. This puzzle, this contradiction, this oxymoron remains weaving in and out of every story, sometimes through every sentence in the Bible. Look at the strange story from Numbers about Moses and the bronze serpent, and notice how the pictures, the images of God, alternate back and forth throughout the story. One, the people are in the wilderness having been liberated from slavery in Egypt. So there's a picture of God the loving. But then moving down to verses 4 and 5 and 6, the children of God, Israel, complain and get impatient and start whining. And God gets angry and sends fiery serpents that bite and kill. There's a picture. God the vengeful. Then we move on to verse 7. The people repent and ask for forgiveness. God shows them mercy, provides a way of salvation. That bronze serpent lifted on a pole where if everyone looks at it, they'll be healed. We have a picture of God the loving, God who saves. Now, over in our gospel lesson, this strange story of Moses and the bronze serpent being lifted up is itself lifted up as a picture, an image of what Jesus the Christ is for us. Think about that for a moment. Jesus, the fiery serpent of God. Jesus comes first of all as the judgment and wrath of God, pointing out and condemning the world's sinfulness. Jesus, far from being meek and mild, was often quite angry about sin, was sometimes judgmental and occasionally harsh towards people he met. Just remember last week's gospel lesson about driving the money changers out of the temple. Jesus was many things, but meek and mild were not two of them. But Christ is not only our judgment, Christ is also our salvation. As the gospel lesson said, indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world through him might be saved. The Son of Man must be lifted up. The Son of Man must be crucified. The Son of Man must die so that we may live. What a puzzle. What a contradiction. What an oxymoron. What a mystery. The cross of Christ contains both God's judgment on our sin and God's salvation from our sin. Yet, God is not an oxymoron. God is amazingly consistent. For God's anger at our sin is the direct result of the love God has for us, his beloved children, who are caught in the web of the world's sin. Sin pulls us down. Sin cuts us off from God and from each other, and worst of all, cuts us off from our true selves. God's hatred for sin is so great that God was willing to do anything to save us from it. The greatest, the most paradoxical, the most oxymoronic image of our faith in Christ is Christ upon the cross. There on the cross, the judgment of God and the love of God are revealed together. As the scripture says, he who knew no sin became sin for us all, in our place and on our behalf. Christ upon the cross is the mysterious, oxymoronic truth which holds the story of God's judgment and God's love together. Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Pray with me, please. O God, rich in mercy, by the humiliation of your Son, you lifted up this fallen world and rescued us from the hopelessness of death. Lead us into your light, that all our deeds may reflect your love, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
And amen. Bubba, thank you. I hope all of our listeners will find our new approach this week helpful. Just remember, you can write to us here at the Lectionary Lab Radio Gospel Church of the Air, P.O. Box.
We need to get as famous where we could be, like Billy Graham, Minneapolis, Minnesota. You just write. Brass Town, North Carolina.
And it'll get there.
It'll get there.
Bubba, thanks a lot. I've enjoyed it as always. And again, I don't reckon there's a whole lot else we can do today other than to tell everybody bye.
Everybody bye.
Lectionary Lab Live is a Two Bubbas and a Bible production. Our opening theme is Mama Told Me by Frank Anea. We go out this session with I Don't Like Spiders and Snakes by Jim Stafford.
I remember when Mary Lou said, you want to walk me home from school? Well, I said, yes, I do. She said, I don't have to go right home, and I would kind of like to be alone, son, if you would. I said, me too. And so we took a stroll, wound up down by the swimming hole, and she said, silly and found the frog in the water by a hollow log, and I shook it at her and I said, this frog's for you. And she said,
I don't like spiders and snakes, and that ain't what it takes to love me,
you fool, fool.
I don't like spiders and snakes, and that ain't what it takes to love me, like I wanna be loved by you.
Well, I think of that girl from time to time. I call her up when I got a dime. I say, hello, baby. She said, ain't you cool? says, do you remember when? And would you like to get together again? She said, I see you after school. I was shy so for a while. Most of my love was touching smiles. And she said, come on over here. I was nervous as you might guess. Still looking for something to slip down her dress. And she said, let's make it perfectly clear. She said, like I wanna be loved by you.